Welcome to the Email Design Podcast, where we discuss the latest news in email design and development. We are your hosts. I am Kevin Mandeville.
And I am Jason Rodriguez.
And we are back, Jason. We're back on the podcast. Had a little hiatus there.
Yeah.
We've been working on a lot of things at Litmus lately.
Good 6 month break from podcasting, but it's been filled with tons of other projects.
Yeah. It was pretty much like we went on vacation for sort of the winter holiday break.
Yeah.
And then we came back and we were just sort of off like the entire month of January for like Friday is when we normally record the podcast. And then just before you know it, it's summer and it's like, what?
Yep.
But we're back and hoping to keep the podcast up and going again here this time around. So
we're good to be back. Season two.
Yeah, season two. And what better way to sort of get back into the mix of things with some potentially new rendering changes that are coming out with the leader in the market share for email opens with iOS 10.
Yeah, so what was this? Last week was WWDC, which is Apple's big developer event every year, where they release all kinds of good news about iOS, macOS, whatever. But the big news for email designers is that the latest beta version of the Mail app, which has huge market share, introduced a couple of interesting bugs that we're hoping don't actually make it through to that final release. One of the main ones is that the latest version is no longer auto-scaling non-responsive emails. So we're seeing a couple of reports from different email designers testing it out and essentially getting that thing where it used to be called the Android Grid of Grim. I think folks over at Style Campaign used to call it there, where things weren't auto-scaling, so you only see that left-hand side of an email as you're scrolling down, which is unfortunate for email designers and a very frustrating bug to encounter on these kind of more recent versions of Apple Mail. So hopefully that won't make it through, but we'll see. Have you actually seen that in practice yet, Kevin?
No, but I am not a massive mobile email person either.
Yeah,
actually reading it myself. But I mean, what a big change this would be. And if you aren't doing responsive email yet, and this change persists into the actual live, you know, iOS 10, then you're going to need to switch soon. I mean,
yeah.
Before you could make the argument that some of these clients are going to auto scale for me, and you know, maybe some of the development work for catering to Android wasn't worth it, but iOS does, and that has a large majority of market share. With this now, that argument is pretty much out the window.
Yeah, yeah. And that's that whole philosophy behind this kind of mobile aware approach, is where you're not doing anything fancy code wise, but you're just making bigger text, bigger buttons, things that are easy to read when they are scaled down. So if that stops happening in the biggest email client out there, then that's a real issue for your email program and something you're going to have to address at some point here in the future. Outside of that, they're also adding an unsubscribe link to the top of emails that they detect as marketing email campaigns, which is something we've seen in a couple different clients now, and it seems becoming more and more popular, which is a nice feature for subscribers in that they can easily unsubscribe, but it could have implications for email marketers. They could see higher unsubscribe rates in their own campaigns. It's just one of those things we want to keep an eye on.
What do you think is really the motivation on the email clients? Because you're right, it is becoming more of a trend. You're seeing this in more clients where you open an email and the first thing that you now see for a lot of these clients is unsubscribe. What do you think sort of the reasoning or motivation behind that?
Really, I think it's just one of those nice user features, similar to how like iOS auto detects links or dates or something like that, so you can easily add them to your calendar or contacts list. It's just one of those user experience features that in theory is really, really good, but I don't think anybody outside of design teams really thinks about email marketing, so they might not realize the implications to an entire industry that could be affected by something like that. But I really do think it comes from a place of wanting users and subscribers to have a better experience with email.
That's interesting. It's something I've been trying to just think about and think, you know, is this going to be the new standard or what? Because it could definitely have a lot of implications on your email marketing. I do wonder too, though, it's like for everybody out there designing emails, this may be a result of what happens when you try to hide the unsubscribe link. You know,
yeah.
When people can't find it at all, email clients are now going to go outside of their way to make it completely obvious as to where users can find that.
Yeah, so I wish maybe it's... It's just a matter of years and years of shitty practices on a lot of our end that's coming back to bite us now. That's definitely a good point and probably a lot of the reasoning behind it too.
Yeah, so I wish it wasn't as prevalent. I do like that maybe it's a little bit more prominent and maybe it's a bit standardized. But yeah, I do hate that it's the first interaction you have with an email because, you know, what percent of users are actually going to unsubscribe? I mean, it's always going to be a minority, right? Yeah. So I don't like it having it front and center, but hey, this might be some of our own doing here. So it's important to always make sure that you have sort of a prominent unsubscribe and that you're giving users a way to do that. And, you know, we've seen that having people unsubscribe, if you're allowing them to do it and you're designing it in a right way, it's not a bad thing for deliverability or for your list hygiene. There can actually be very positive effects that come with it. But
yeah,
it's just one of those things, you know, we need to make sure that we're keeping that experience top of mind as well for users.
Absolutely. One good piece of news is it seems like the video tag is back in play, which was something that was removed recently. So that effectively killed real like HTML5 video in most email clients because Apple Mail was one of the few that actually supported it. So we were lamenting that loss for a while. But it looks like with the latest beta version of Mail that it is working again, which hopefully it'll stay there, make its way through. We can start seeing some more really cool emails.
Yeah, HTML5 video being back is huge news. I had just done a webinar with Wistia not too long ago, and I had dove into sort of the HTML5 video support and clients, and it had dropped down to like 1% of email clients. Because, you know, iOS got rid of the video tag a couple of versions ago, and then like Apple Mail wasn't working well with it, and there is basically next to no support for HTML5 video, where just several years ago it was at like 50%.
Yeah.
So this being able to support it back will bring the HTML5 video support just for iOS alone, I mean, back up to 30% or so. So that's a massive game changer for being able to support that and be able to do cooler things potentially with email. You know, obviously the whole debate of should you be using video inside email or whatnot, I still think there's, you know, in the right use cases, it can be very effective and done really well. But I think it's just good to see. I'm always going to be on the case for more support, Jason. That's what
absolutely.
I'm on that team, that side of things.
I'm with you. Speaking of weird support for things or lack of support for things, Yahoo had a weird update that ended up breaking a few things. I don't know if you want to go over this for us, Kevin. It was an interesting little news, breaking news that happened about a week ago.
Before we just jump into that, I want to ask you just about for iOS 10 and the Mail app is going to be unbundled now.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that's really going to affect market share a lot for sort of iOS?
I think it could. I'm still unclear as to whether or not the unbundling, it'll still be installed by default, but people have the option to delete it. So I feel like it's going to, if that's a case where it's still installed by default, but you can delete it, I don't think it'll be a huge effect on market share because I can't imagine there's a huge number of people, iOS users, going out of their way to find different email applications. It seems to be more of like an early adopter thing or people in enterprise that seek out things that work with some of their other tools like Outlook or whatever, you know. So I don't think it'll be that big. But if they somehow made it, I can't imagine them doing this where you had to go to the App Store to download it and it wasn't on the device right from the get-go, then that could be a lot different experience and that could definitely affect it. But it doesn't seem like that's the case. So I don't expect it'll be a huge problem for most people for that market share.
Yeah, I view it the same way. I think if it's going to be opt-out, it's really not going to change at all. If it is, it will probably change a little bit. But I still think if users have to download it manually, when they go to the App Store, I can only imagine that it's going to be the first app that shows up when users go to search for email. Yep. So that could help a little bit. But I think it's just going to be opt out and I don't expect much to change. I think an interesting thing that could actually sort of boost open rates potentially, though, and sort of increase the market share that way is they showed there is a lot of peak functionality on the lock screen now with like notifications and being able to expand notifications. You might be able to peak emails. I mean, we didn't get to see that in the demo that they gave, but if you're able to peak emails and you trigger image opens on peak, That might be an interesting thing that comes about, sort of email opens and market share that way on iOS 10. I haven't been able to download or test or play with it myself, but that could be an interesting thing to look out for.
Yeah, yeah. And it's that peak thing seems very similar to the new inbox where you can peak those views. And there was a lot of concern on whether or not that would affect open rates. And it was still downloading images and displaying them. So if that's still the case on that notification screen, then, yeah, we'll be interested to see if more people adopt that behavior. And maybe all of our open rates will jump because of it.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's get into the Yahoo fiascos that have been going on lately. I don't know if it's just me, Jason, but it seems like Yahoo Mail might actually be the rendering engine that sort of changes the most. I know that it's not necessarily the largest market share, but they always seem to be updating stuff, and it's interesting to find out what they have going on. So what happened recently was there was two key things, and we'll go over the first one that still is in production today. And that is that Yahoo is now adding overflow X of auto. So basically, horizontal overflow when it sees the property of max width inline on an element. And overflow Y of auto when it sees the property max height. So it's essentially translating and converting and adding those properties to that. And so a simple fix that Remy Parmentier found was to simply add overflow visible in line after the max width and max height properties. The only downside is that only takes place in Firefox and Chrome or Safari as well, I guess, but it doesn't work in Internet Explorer, because what happens in Internet Explorer is that overflow gets translated to the prefix with the dash MS. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, that fix is not working in Internet Explorer. I would definitely recommend checking out your audience, though, because it might not matter. Like, I know I had looked at our audience for Internet Explorer, and like one of our last newsletter opens had like four or five people on it, literally. Mm-hmm. So Firefox and Chrome is definitely getting the majority of Yahoo opens, I would suspect. But that was an interesting case, because this is really affecting a lot of hybrid layouts. So if you're using a multiple column sort of spongy hybrid layout, you'll start to see scroll bars being added because of this overflow X and overflow Y of auto being added, which is not ideal. You don't want to just see scroll bars showing up in your email, you know? So that's not ideal, but there's a quick fix for that at the moment. The other thing that happened as well, though, which was even worse, because this first one was just showing scroll bar, which wasn't ideal, but didn't necessarily,
break
anything. But this next one broke more than a few things. It was basically breaking the multi-column layouts of hybrid or spongy designs. So basically what was happening is that Yahoo had made a change, which we believe was related to their mobile rendering, mm-hmm. but it affected the webmail desktop rendering, where they changed width to min width, which that will break a lot of things. So basically it started stacking everything into really weird one column, like off-centered, like unaligned one column layouts. The simple fix that I was able to figure out and find was, if you target Yahoo using the app media Yahoo media query, and if you use a class on it in the head within that media query of app media Yahoo, just give it a min width of whatever you want the width to be, and use the important declaration with no space in between the value, because it Yahoo doesn't like that. It will then overwrite and sort of swap out that value of what you want. So that was a quick fix. Again, this fix does not work in Internet Explorer. It only worked in Firefox and Chrome. This issue is already fixed. It's no longer in production, so you shouldn't be seeing this right now. But in case that this problem arises in the future, it's good to just sort of have this little trick stored away so that you can pull it out. Because, I mean, I remember, Jason, this change happened overnight, and we were literally about to send like our main Litmus monthly newsletter the following morning, and we were sort of like in crisis mode as to like, you know, we what's going on here? We, you know, granted, we don't have a ton of people opening on Yahoo, but we more than anybody get criticized about how our emails look, and we need to make sure they're looking right. So you just, you know, you always got to be on top of the rendering changes here.
Yeah, I think one of the coolest things was how quickly everybody's kind of picked up on this problem and started talking about it and floating solutions. So over in the Lotus community, there's actually a really good discussion on it that was easily our most quickly commented on post. It's up to 42 comments now, but it was just a flurry of activity from the community addressing this issue, trying to figure out exactly what's going on, proposing fixes, stuff like that. So it's always really good and really kind of encouraging when we see the community kind of rally around different email client bugs like this and help each other out fixing and finding solutions for it. So that was cool to see.
Yeah, I would definitely just subscribe to that community thread, because I'm sure if it ever pops up again, conversation will continue right there. So, all right, we just want to take a minute, let you guys know you can check out the podcast at emaildesignpodcast.com. You can catch all the past episodes there, catch up. If you're new to the podcast, go right from the start, catch up to now, and keep on listening. We're also have the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud, so be sure to subscribe there. And we have a special, amazing offer for you guys, 14-day free trial of Litmus. Just go to litmus.com/gift card and input the coupon code podcast. You get 14 days free. Test all your emails in over 50 different. We have over 50 different email clients now, Jason, which is
that's crazy.
Amazing.
Yeah.
You know, everything from Outlook to Gmail, native mail apps on iOS,
German
and
webmail clients, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. It's fantastic. We just keep increasing the support. So, you know, make sure you never send a broken email again. Make sure all your emails look right in all the clients so you don't have to worry about all this stuff. So yeah, just go to litmus.com/gift card, input the coupon code podcast, and you got 14 days free right there.
Yeah. Just another reminder too. We got the, couple of conferences coming up, the Email Design Conference for 2016, in not one city, not two cities, but three cities. We're coming to London, Boston, and San Francisco, which should be loads of fun. London's coming up first, July 26th through 27th. If you can't make it there, Boston will be there August 15th through the 17th, and then in San Francisco, September 15th through the 16th. So tons of cool sessions. We just released the London agenda, which has great sessions from tons of really good email folks. Kevin and I will both be hosting some workshops there for our attendees as well. But tons of great information. The smartest people in email always attend and share everything they know about email. So it's one of the easiest and best ways to level up your skill set and just meet everybody in the industry, which is always fun.
Yeah, I mean, we're doing three cities, and there's going to be over 1,000 email geeks that attend this conference between the three cities. So it's pretty incredible. There's going to be about over 200 in London, 600 Boston, about 200 in San Francisco. So, I mean, it's going to be about 1,000 people total, yeah, which is pretty nuts. I'm really looking forward to the London dev track myself. Yeah, you know, Mark Robbins, Remy Parmentier, Sam Sexton. We just got some amazing minds that's going to talk about some amazing stuff. I mean, by the time this podcast airs, Jason, or gets published, London's probably already going to be sold out.
Yeah,
But definitely grab tickets for Boston and San Francisco while you can. Yep. And I know most of the workshops are sold out already as well. So, you know, try to whatever you can get. If you're thinking about going, you know, make sure you try to get on this as fast as possible, because they're selling out quick, workshops especially. And if you can't, just be sure to email us and try to get on a wait list to see if something opens up.
Yeah, and we actually have a few sponsors that are giving away tickets too, through our patron program. So there's blog posts up on the Litmus blog. Check that out and see how you guys can actually win tickets to the Email Design Conference. If you can't afford it, can't make it otherwise, then that's definitely a good opportunity to meet your fellow email geeks in person. So check that out. Cool. We found this interesting tool. It was released a little while ago. It's called emaildog.club, which is this fun, essentially a pixel editor online, where you have a color palette, you have a pixel grid, you can make some really cool, fun pixel art. There's some great built-in illustrations of dogs, hot dogs, a great little email envelope love thing. But it allows you to spit out the HTML tables of your pixel art to include that in your email campaigns, which is pretty cool. I feel like we've seen a couple of different examples of this type of tool over the years, but this is definitely one of the most polished versions. So if you're looking to make pixel art, looking to include it in your emails because it'll display when images are not displayed, definitely check it out. It's emaildog.club.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's super user friendly, well designed, yeah. well developed. And I love how it's just a small little area. I mean, for pixel, I'll call this sort of pixel perfect pixel art, you know, where it's really defined. You don't really want to have pixel art that's too much bigger than this. Obviously, if you're using bigger table cells, you can. But for this sort of level of detail, this is probably as small as you want to get for the table cells and about this size. So it's great. And the fact that you can just sort of output the code and you're ready to go, it's just an awesome, awesome little tool. And it's a great way for people to really get introduced to pixel art if they haven't used it before. I mean, even us, Jason, we haven't ever really done pixel art at Litmus. It's something I'd love to do more of. I know the big challenge for me has just always been thinking about sort of responsively. But this is a great tool to get started with it for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I love some of these examples are just fantastic, cute little dogs. And they actually have the option where you can drag in your own image too, and it'll trace it for you and spit out that pixel art. So if you have a cool little icon or something, just load it in there, grab the tables, throw it in your email, and you're on your way.
Simple as that. All right, I figured we go over some of the email client news that's just sort of been happening. I mean, some of the stuff's a little bit older, but I think it's still important to talk about and mention. I think perhaps one of the biggest announcements in sort of the email clients was that Mailbox is now officially sunsetted, and it has been retired. So, you know, rest in peace, Mailbox. It was nice knowing you. So that was officially shut down back in February of this year. I think, Jason, the one thing that Mailbox's legacy really will be about and how we'll all look back about Mailbox is the swiping action that the swiping interaction UX that it introduced to email clients, which is now being used across, I mean, most mobile email clients in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, absolutely.
That they were the ones that sort of innovated and pioneered that interaction. And hopefully for them, they feel a little bit better that that interaction itself will live on across these other email clients. And I think that's the one thing we'll remember about them. But it never quite took off the ground. And I think, unfortunately, Inbox by Gmail is pretty much swaggerjacking a lot of what they wanted to do with a bigger user base.
Yeah, I think the swiping thing is huge from their standpoint. They definitely introduced that. But also, they seem to have a real eye for design, which is something we're seeing more and more across email clients. And I feel like for a long time, email clients were very utilitarian and very pragmatic, and the user interface and experience wasn't as well considered as some other applications. And they kind of honed in on that too, and we're seeing that across email clients now, including with a newer client that was announced a little bit ago called Polymail, which is at polymail.io, which looks absolutely gorgeous. I think I downloaded the beta a while ago, but haven't actually used it yet, but I still to this day see tons of people talking about it on Twitter and how much they love Polymail. So this could be a really interesting email client to keep an eye on. We all know that email clients come and go. A lot are required for other companies to build out as their own clients. So Polymail looks like a very interesting one that we'll definitely have to
anybody
launch.
Anybody who's missing Mailbox, I think will really like Polymail. It's kind of a mailbox replacement in many ways. And not that we think it's going to be I don't really think it's going to make much of a dent in email client market share, but for anybody who's missing Mailbox, might be a good replacement. But the other good thing too is that Polymail has some pretty decent rendering of email. So it seems to be largely WebKit based ish. I don't know that's exactly using WebKit. I haven't looked too closely at it, but I know that there aren't any major rendering bugs with it.
Yeah, which is all we can hope for, really, when new email clients are introduced, that they don't screw it up for everybody else. It looks like they're on the right path. The last little bit of email client news is that Boxer, which seems to be, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seemed more popular in the enterprise and had a fairly large user base, but they were acquired by VMware, which is a maker of all sorts of enterprise cloud tools. I feel like VMware has been around for a while, and they've hit on pretty much everything in software. But they were acquired back in October, So they will be joining VMware as part of their AirWatch cloud platform. So it'll be kind of interesting to see what happens there. Looks like the team will continue developing and working on the Boxer application, at least according to their press release. But it's always interesting to see how these acquisitions actually go, because more often than not, a team's acquired and the product is shut down within 6-12 months, something like that. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, the one surprise has been, you know, Acompli being integrated so well with Outlook and their iOS and Android apps as being the default ones. That's been a major success of an email client acquisition. But yeah, I don't really know to expect much of anything here other than to just show, you know, here continues sort of the motivation for developers to be creating more email clients and for all this fragmentation to continue to exist because they're incentivized to do so. You know, these larger companies are just scooping them up. And so, you know, I don't really know that this is going to mean too much, but I think that's sort of the, at least for me, the key point and the key takeaway from it. And I do remember recalling, I did predict that Boxer was going to be acquired by Yahoo last year, which it wasn't Yahoo, but Boxer did get acquired. So I get a half a point credit on that.
We'll
one,
count
Jason.
It. I'll give you points.
All right. So we're going to go over every episode towards like the end of every episode. Now we want to start doing basically an email of the week and start featuring just an email that has come across our inbox recently. It may not necessarily have been from the week that we recorded the podcast, but just an email that really caught our eye, that stood out in the inbox, and just one that we love. And since we were just talking about Apple earlier, Jason, we had to go with their sort of launch hype promo email for WWDC recently. And this to me is just an amazing email design. It is as simple as you could ever want an email design to be. It just simply shows print, hello, WWDC, catering completely to their audience of developers, and, you know, using learn more as sort of a function there. I mean, just simple, clean. It's all images, which bum me out a little bit. I would have loved to have seen this done with actual fonts. It could have been really cool, a cool implementation to do it. They are using a cool little technique of sort of, I guess, progressively enhancing to sort of like retina background images for WebKit, which is weird. And they just sort of have a static, regular size images for non-WebKit. So I found that to be an interesting technique. But I really love this email. It totally hits their audience, and it's probably been one of my favorite emails that I've seen recently.
Yeah, absolutely. It's gorgeous. Despite not having any like real technical advancements or like really interesting coding going on, this design is just absolutely brilliant because it's so simple. It's beautiful. The colors are fantastic. It looks very much like a dark colored code editor, which I'm sure we're all used to. But this is the perfect example of content fitting the audience in a way that just creates this magic. And every developer there, I'm sure, recalls doing their first Hello World experiment in code, which for a lot of people is print Hello World and just taking that to the next level for that conference and tying that in. I'm going to have that little blinking cursor there is just absolutely perfect. So it really draws the developer crowd in. And I know a ton of people love this, and so did we.
Yeah, it was one of the few emails that I've seen recently that really got a lot of shine and a lot of plug on Twitter and really sort of went viral and was something that was shared, which I think is very hard for a lot of brands to achieve. And this is one that I definitely saw not just once or twice, but it was pretty prevalent in my Twitter feed and from non, you know, email designer developer people, just regular designers, developers or a technical audience. So people were definitely noticing it and they were definitely getting hype for it, which is exactly what you want with something like an event email like this.
Yeah. And I really like it too, because it seems it's very Apple-like, the design, and in the sense that it is from Apple and it reflected their website for the conference. But even the website for the conference, it seemed very un-Apple-like because it was such a departure from the typical white background, beautiful product shots, and a little bit of text that's in most of their marketing materials. So it does feel like a slightly newer approach to design that Apple is opening themselves up to, and it's reflecting in the emails too. So it's really cool to see them kind of stretching their legs a little bit, trying out new ideas and making better emails in the process. It was awesome.
All right, that's going to do it. We're back, Jason. That was a good run back. It was, you know, nice little reintroduction into this whole podcast thing. Hopefully everything recorded properly.
Yeah, get all the kinks out. We haven't done this in a while.
Yeah, get all the kinks out. It's good, though. But thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Email Design Podcast. Just a reminder, check out emaildesignpodcast.com. Check out every single episode of the podcast there. You can also subscribe to us on iTunes and SoundCloud. And don't forget a free 14-day trial of Litmus. Just go to litmus.com/giftcard. All right, until next time, email geeks, reminding you, keep your tables aligned and your styles in line. See ya.